You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to this podcast on multi-cancer early detection, or MCED testing, hosted by Med Learning Group. This podcast is one in a series of five geared towards several specialty practices. In this podcast, Dr. Jennifer Weiss will discuss the implications of MCED testing within gastroenterology practice. My name is Chris, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Weiss, who's joining us today. Dr. Weiss is an associate professor in the Division of Gastroenterology and Hepatology at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. Dr. Weiss has led several initiatives on improving cancer screening and risk assessment, which is particularly relevant to our discussion of multi-cancer early detection today. Thank you very much for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a little bit of background in this area. Talk about the scope of the problem here. What is blood-based cancer screening, and why do we need it to enhance cancer screening that's available today?
So if we first set the stage for why we need cancer screening, we know that cancer is the second most common cause of death in the United States behind heart disease. And according to the 2023 American Cancer Society facts and figures, approximately 1.9 million new cancer diagnoses are expected in the U.S. in 2023, with approximately 600,000 deaths from cancer. And that means that 41 out of 100 men and 39 out of 100 women in the U.S. will develop cancer in their lifetime. So I think that really sets the stage for why we need cancer screening in general. On a positive note, we have made significant strides in increasing five-year overall survival from cancer over the past 60 years. And I do believe that this is partly due to improvements in cancer screenings. So the cancers that we most commonly screen for include cervical cancer with pap smears and HPV testing, breast cancer with mammograms, prostate cancer with PSA testing, more recently, lung cancer in specific populations with low-dose CT scans, and then the one that's near and dear to my heart being in gastroenterology is colon cancer. And for us, colon cancer screening is unique in that there are multiple methods for screening that have been recommended by the United States Preventive Services Task Force, some of which are non-invasive, like the stool-based tests. Some of which are invasive, such as colonoscopy, sigmoidoscopy, CT colonography. And some of the invasive tests are unique in that there's the opportunity to intervene on the precancerous lesions, the adenomatous polyps, the sessile serrated lesions, and remove them before they turn into cancer. So this all sounds great. But unfortunately, despite these multiple effective options for cancer screenings, many people are not receiving them and are not completing these screening tests. And we know that there are multiple barriers to screening at all levels of the healthcare system, the patient level, provider level, clinic level, healthcare system level, environmental level. And they include things like lack of access to primary care providers, lack of providers to perform the screening tests, fear of invasive tests, fear of exposure to radiation, distance to facilities that perform the screening tests, and the inability to take time off of work for multiple screening tests. And some of these barriers can actually be addressed with a single blood-based test that would screen for multiple cancers all at the same time. So blood-based tests can be used based on assays that look at circulating free DNA as a tumor biomarker. And these, the circulating free DNA can be analyzed for specific cancer-related mutations, cancer-specific DNA methylation patterns, chromatin alterations, and as I said before, look for multiple types of cancers with just a single test.
So you alluded to gastroenterology, and that's the field that's near and dear to your heart. You talked about colonoscopy, stool testing, et cetera, et cetera. Are the MCED tests, the blood-based cancer tests, are they designed to replace colonoscopy and gastroenterology cancer testing for cancer detection?
So they're definitely not designed to replace the colon cancer screening tests. They're very much more to be used, I think, in conjunction with the current USPSTF recommendations for guideline-based cancer screening. So for example, we know colonoscopies have a very high sensitivity for colon cancer, around 95%, and a high sensitivity to detect advanced adenomas, the precancerous lesions that we really want to remove to prevent colon cancer. But colonoscopies are invasive procedures. So individuals who undergo a colonoscopy need to drink a big bowel preparation to clean out the colon so we can identify these polyps. Some of the bowel preps are better tolerated than others. People will most of the time want or need sedation. And so they'll need to take off work for the procedure. They'll need to have a driver who brings them for the procedure. And it involves the insertion of a flexible colonoscope into the colon, which and use of instruments to remove polyps, which can cause potential risks, albeit very small, of complications such as post-polypectomy bleeding or colon perforation. Meanwhile, these blood-based tests, they can help in this situation in the sense that no bowel preparation is needed. No sedation is needed. There's very minimal risks with them, but we also need to consider that the blood-based tests typically have lower sensitivities for detecting cancers with respect to colon cancer. They have much lower sensitivities for identifying these precancerous adenomas. So I don't think that they're going to replace the particular colon cancer screening test that we have available, in particular colonoscopy. But I do think that they definitely can help and be used in conjunction with these tests. And I also think the major question that requires further studies is how do we incorporate this MCED testing in a USPSTF recommended cancer screening program? So should this test be used on an annual basis? Or should it be used every 2 years, every 3 years? I think these are questions that we don't know yet. In addition, are there particular populations of patients that would really benefit from the MCED testing as part of their cancer screening program over other populations, such as people who have known hereditary cancer syndromes like Lynch syndrome or hereditary breast and ovarian cancer syndromes?
Well, those are excellent questions, and hopefully they'll be teased out over the next several years. So regarding these new MCED tests, when it comes back from the clinic, what information does it provide to the clinician and the patient?
The MCED tests typically give a binary answer of, was there a cancer signal detected or not? And then if there was a cancer signal detected, there's a prediction of the most likely cancer signal origin or the tissue of origin, such as breast, colon, liver, pancreas, et cetera. The MCED tests are a single blood test with the ability to screen for multiple types of cancers, including detecting cancer types for which screening tests and guideline-based screening recommendations actually don't exist at this time. So these cancers for which the screening tests and recommendations don't exist right now are often found at more advanced stages once they're actually causing symptoms and people are starting to work up these symptoms. And this is where the MCED test potentially can help us detect an early cancer before symptoms present.
So you discussed this earlier. There's a clear need for identifying cancer earlier, earlier in the disease course that current recommendations don't necessarily account for. When you talk about the accuracy of these emerging MCED tests, we talk about things like sensitivity and specificity. In gastroenterology practice, what do the data show about how accurate these tests are?
When we think about sensitivity, that's the ability of a test to correctly identify an individual with the disease as a positive test. Specificity is the ability of the test to correctly designate an individual who does not have the disease as a negative test. And I think it's important to think about in the context of cancer screening, when we want to implement a screening test, the condition should be an important health problem. It should be, there should be a recognizable early stage with an acceptable treatment plan if you catch it at an early stage. The test should be sufficiently accurate to detect the disease earlier than in the absence of screening, and the benefits definitely need to outweigh the harms. And among GI cancers, at this time, really only colorectal cancer is considered to be prevalent enough to implement population-based screening programs. And we know there's an estimated number needed to screen of 167 people to detect one colorectal cancer. And this is compared to an estimated number needed to screen of 500 people to detect one pancreatic cancer, or a number needed to screen of 1,000 people to detect one esophageal cancer. So among the currently available colorectal cancer screening tests, both stool-based and structural tests, such as colonoscopy, sigmoidoscopy, CT colonography, they all have high specificity for colon cancer and advanced adenomas. But the interesting thing is that they do vary significantly with respect to sensitivity for colon colon cancer and advanced adenomas. And more specifically, the advanced adenomas, which to us are the target to prevent colorectal cancer. The MCED tests also have a very high specificity for cancer detection. So for example, the Pathfinder study found that it looked at MCED testing to detect cancer-specific DNA methylation patterns for circulating free DNA for more than 50 distinct cancers and found a specificity of 99%, a negative predictive value of 98.6%, and a number needed to screen to detect one cancer of 189. And that's similar to the estimated number needed to screen to detect colon cancer that has supported the fact that we do population-based colon cancer screening.
So you mentioned cancer staging early on in your last answer. But how does cancer stage in particular affect the reliability of MCED testing?
So there are multiple studies that have shown increasing sensitivity with increasing cancer stage. So there was a study published by Liu et al. In 2020 in Annals of Oncology that specifically evaluated the performance of targeted methylation analysis of circulating free DNA to detect cancers across different stages. And they looked at the performance in 12 pre-specified cancers, anal cancer, bladder, colorectal, esophagus, head and neck, hepatobiliary, lung, lymphoma, ovary, pancreas, plasma cell neoplasms, and stomach. And they looked at the performance of these methylation signatures in a training set and a validation set, and found similar results in both sets in which the sensitivity increased significantly as the stages went up. So they had showed a sensitivity of about 39% in stage one disease, 69% in stage two disease, 83% in stage three disease, and then 92% in stage four. And when looking across 50 different cancer types, a similar increase in sensitivity was seen as the cancer stages progressed. Also of note in the Pathfinder study, when among the individuals where new cancers were diagnosed among patients that had false negative test results, these typically were in early stage cancer, so the stages one and two. So cancer stage definitely impacts the sensitivity of the MCED testing.
So let's turn to a patient. Maybe he's a male in his late 50s who hasn't had a recent colonoscopy. He agrees to an MCED test, and the result comes back with a positive signal for colon cancer. So how do you discuss this result with regard to differentiating a screening test result versus a diagnostic test? And what are your next steps for working up this positive screen as an official diagnosis?
So when we talk to patients in our practice, we explain to them that screening tests are used for early detection of a disease or risk factors for a disease and are typically done in asymptomatic individuals. The diagnostic test comes into play to establish the presence or absence of a disease once somebody presents with symptoms or has an abnormal test result. So in this scenario that you just mentioned, the MCED test is the screening test because the patient they're asymptomatic, they don't have any symptoms. But once we get a positive cancer signal or a positive result from that test, then the follow-up study that we need to do to confirm the presence or absence of an actual cancer is the diagnostic test. So in this case, a positive signal for a colon cancer would then lead to a follow-up colonoscopy, which we would consider to be a diagnostic colonoscopy and would be done to either confirm or exclude a colon cancer as the reason for that positive cancer signal. The positive cancer signal in the MCED could in general result in multiple diagnostic tests. So it all depends on the most likely cancer signal origin. So for example, somebody who has a positive cancer signal for lung, ovarian, liver, breast will often need further workup with imaging studies like CAT scans, MRIs, PET CT scans. If the cancer signal is from a positive hematologic origin, it's possible that they'll need more blood work, maybe a bone marrow biopsy. For esophageal or gastric cancer signals, this could lead to an upper endoscopy, potentially also a colonoscopy if we don't find anything on the upper endoscopy. So I think it's important to understand that the number and type of diagnostic tests to evaluate a positive MCED test will vary depending on the predicted cancer signal origin and patient factors such as their comorbidities, what your likelihood of having a particular cancer might be if you have a known hereditary cancer syndrome, and obviously patient preferences. So standardized approaches to working up the positive cancer signals from the different cancer sites still need to be developed, and I think could be a source of future studies.
So this patient received a positive signal on his test indicating colon cancer. So what are some of the barriers that you might see for this patient that in which he would be resistant to establishing it as a diagnosis? Do you have any experience with why he might not want to pursue diagnostic testing?
So there are definitely multiple barriers that a patient may have in seeking further diagnostic testing after a positive MCED, which is why it's really important to have shared decision-making as part of the process when a provider is deciding to order this type of test for their patient. And I think that that discussion really needs to include both the decision to pursue this initial MCED test, but also the possibility that they'll need to undergo additional diagnostic and workup tests afterward and what that would require. So I think in the case, in our particular scenario, some of the barriers to completing the full workup could include access to healthcare providers and facilities that perform the diagnostic tests. So if somebody lives in potentially a geographic area that doesn't have access to colonoscopy facilities, how are we going to work up this positive potential colon cancer signal in an MCED test for our patient? They also might need to take time off of work for the procedure. They might have transportation issues. They might not have someone who can drive them to the next test result or the next test that needs to happen. We need to think about cost or insurance coverage for these additional diagnostic tests that are required. And then I think another major category of barriers are psychological barriers. So fear of finding out what the result is from the diagnostic test, or lack of knowledge from both the patient and the provider of what the next step, what the next test should be to help figure out where this positive cancer signal is coming from. Potentially anxiety or disbelief that the diagnostic test is needed since it was done in a screening situation where the patient was asymptomatic to begin with. And then the last kind of big barrier that I've seen with some patients is the idea that even if we did find a cancer, that they might not want to go through with the treatment. They might not want to pursue the surgery or the chemotherapy or the treatment for a potential cancer that's found, in which case you have to think about that ahead of time. So why would you order the test in the first place if we're not going to follow through with every step along the pathway of the workup? And I think that one of the interesting studies that came out was the Pathfinder study that looked at how patients and providers responded to a positive MCED test. And they found that the psychological impact of screening was actually relatively low overall in their cohort of patients and short-lived. And that that was even the case for those with false positive results. And they also found that those that were at higher baseline cancer risk were the ones that tended to experience symptoms of anxiety. So I think it's important to counsel patients on the fact that it will take time to obtain the necessary diagnostic test results after a positive MCED test. And you can give people the example that in the Pathfinder study, about half of all cancer diagnoses were made in less than 2 months. And that when cancer could not be confirmed, diagnostic tests, often including serial scans, typically extended for about 4 months.
So that goes back to the whole shared decision-making thing where you're kind of open and honest about the expectations of these tests and kind of how long it would take to confirm or disprove the diagnosis. That's a very interesting point. But let's finish up with a few final thoughts. So for our gastroenterology listeners, how do you feel this testing overall has affected gastroenterology practice, maybe specifically your practice? And what's the path forward with these tests?
So at the present time, I have actually not seen a significant use of MCED tests in clinical gastroenterology practice, but I do predict that as they are more widely used in primary care or oncology practices, that in gastroenterology, what we're going to see is more endoscopic procedures, such as upper endoscopies, colonoscopies, endoscopic ultrasounds, video capsule endoscopies to look at the small intestine, that are going to be ordered as a workup for a positive MCED test with GI tract cancer signals. So I do think that it's going to be important for gastroenterologists to participate in any future studies to determine appropriate and standardized approach to working up positive MCED tests with suspected GI tract cancer signals. In my own practice, so I'm the director of the University of Wisconsin GI Genetics Clinic. So I see a potential path forward in my clinic for incorporating MCED tests into cancer screening and surveillance algorithms for patients with hereditary cancer susceptibility syndrome, such as Lynch syndrome. And I would like to see larger prospective studies focusing particularly on these populations of patients. So, I mean, overall, cancer is common. Early detection is key since affects outcomes and quality of life, and those vary greatly depending on the stage of the disease at the time of diagnosis. And we know that evidence-based tests for cancer screening are limited and adherence to screening tests are not optimal, and that many cancers actually do not have evidence-based screening recommendations or tests available. So I do think the growing body of data on the use of the circulating free DNA and circulating tumor DNA for multi-cancer screening in these MCED tests has shown that there is potential to incorporate these tests into the current USPSTF cancer screening recommendations. But there are definitely still questions that need to be answered with well-designed prospective studies, such as who should receive these tests? Should it be people of a certain age or only people with particular risk factors for cancer? And how often should these tests be done? But I do think we can all agree that our shared goal is to detect cancers at an earlier stage where interventions exist for treatment and ultimately reduce cancer-related deaths.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Weiss. I appreciate you joining us today and sharing your knowledge on the background of multi-cancer early detection testing and how it's actually getting off the ground as a practical use for identifying cancers, specifically in gastroenterology practice. But that's it for today. Once again, thank you, Dr. Weiss, for joining us, and thanks to all of our listeners for joining us as well. As a reminder, MedLearning Group offers many types of CME programs across a variety of disease states, including several gastroenterology topics. I invite you to explore these on our website, medlearninggroup.com. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would also like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Grail, who provided unrestricted grants for this educational activity. Thank you very much and have a great day.